Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Rutama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtuki. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter, first canto, chapter 7, texts 53 and 54. There are two verses, so we'll just do the whole thing. I'll read first Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Brahma Bandhu Nahantavya. Atata iva dharhana maya vobhayam amnatam paripahyanushasanam guru pratishrutam satyam. Guru pratishrutam satyam. Yat tat sanvayata priyam. Priyam cha bhimasenasya.
Priyam cha bhimasenasya.
Panchalya mayameva cha. Sri Bhagavan uvacha. Brahma Bandhu Nahantavya. Atata iva dharhana. Maya eva bhayam amnatam. Paripahyanushasanam. Guru pratishrutam satyam.
Guru
Please chant.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Brahma Bandhu Nahantavya.
Brahma Bandhu Nahantavya.
Atatai Vadharana.
Atatai Vadharana.
Mayeho Vayam Amnatam.
Mayeho Vayam Amnatam.
Paripaya Anushaya Shasanam.
Paripaya Anushasanam.
Guru Parati Shrutam Satyam
Yattat Santa Vyata Priyam
Yattat Santa Vyata Priyam
Priyam
Cha Vimasenasya
Priyam
Cha Vimasenasya Brahma Bandhur Nahantavya Atatai Vadharana Maya Vaivo Amatam Paripaya Nushasanam
Guru Prati Shrutam Satyam
Yatat Sansvayata
Priyam
Priyam Chadina Senasya Panchalya Maya Mevacha Word for word, Sri Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead, Uvacha said, Brahma Bandhu, the relative of a Brahmana. Na, not. Hantavya, to be killed. Atatai, the aggressor. Vadha Arhana, is due to be killed. Maya, by me. Eva, certainly. Ubhayam, both. Amnatam, described according to the rulings of the authority. Paripahi, carry out. Anushasanam, rulings. Kuru, abide by. Pratishrutam, as promised by. Satyam, truth. Yat, that which. Santavyata, sorry, santvayata, while pacifying. Priyam, dear wife. Priyam, satisfaction. Cha, also. Bhimasenasya, of Sri Bhimasen. Panchalya, of Draupadi, Mayam, unto me also. Eva, certainly. Cha, and. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The personality of Godhead Sri Krishna said, "A friend of a brahmana is not to be killed, but if he is an aggressor, he must be killed. All these rulings are in the scriptures, and you should act accordingly. You have to fulfill your promise to your wife, and you must also act to the satisfaction of Bhima Sen and me." Please repeat. The personality of Godhead Sri Krishna said, "A friend of a brahmana is not to be killed, but if he is an aggressor, he must be killed. All these rulings are in the scriptures, and you should act accordingly. You have to fulfill your promise to your wife, and you must also act to the satisfaction of Bhima Sen and me." Purport. Arjuna was perplexed because Ashwatthama was to be killed as well as spared according to different scriptures cited by different persons. As a Brahma Bandhu, or worthless son of a Brahmana, Ashwatthama was not to be killed. But he was at the same time an aggressor also. And according to the rulings of Manu, an aggressor, even though he be a Brahmana, and what to speak of an unworthy son of a Brahmana, is to be killed. Dronacharya was certainly a Brahmana in the true sense of the term, but because he stood in the battlefield, he was killed. But although Ashwatthama was an aggressor, he stood without any fighting weapons. The ruling is that an aggressor, when he is without weapon or chariot, cannot be killed. All these were certainly perplexities. Besides that, Arjuna had to keep the promise he had made before Draupadi, just to pacify her. And he also had to satisfy both Bhima and Krishna, who advised killing him. This dilemma was present before Arjuna, and the solution was awarded by Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Saroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gurim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurim Dinatarana Amom Vishnu Padaya Chakshara Kale Shumati Bhakti Kaswamiti Namane Namane Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Vutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Vesha Padine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gauru Bhakti Vrinda.
Those who are listening the class, if you want to ask a question or comment, you don't have to wait till class finish. You can type it on my cell phone or on the chat room. So when the class end, we don't have to like wait long time if somebody is there. My number is 352-221-0041. So thank you.
Thank you all for coming today, and for those of you who are listening at home, I'm grateful for your association, and I beg for your blessings and the blessings of all the senior devotees. Please empower me so that I can speak something enlivening, so that we all feel enthusiastic to pursue our Krishna consciousness very nicely. In this verse, Arjuna is described as being perplexed. He's completely baffled. He has no idea what to do. He only knows that somehow he has to please his wife, he has to please his brothers, and he has to please his best friend, who happens also to be God. And different people have different opinions, and they have expressed what they think should happen, and somehow Arjuna has to synthesize and put that all together so that he can please all of them. The verse states that a friend of a brahmana should not be killed, And Ashwatthama was referred to as that because he was the son of a brahmana, but of course he performed this horrible act that showed that he actually wasn't a brahmana. Whereas, as we saw in the verse, his father, Dronacharya, he was a true brahmana. But he was killed on the battlefield because he was on the battlefield and he came there with the intention of fighting. And so in that case, he did have to be killed. But Draupadi is very kind, hearted, and merciful. And she, although despite the fact that she has lost, imagine she's lost her 5 sons, still she is feeling that Ashwatthama should not be killed. And we've heard the different reasons in the previous verses why she's feeling like that. Yeah, so how to know what to do. I felt like this was the theme of this verse, because we come to Krishna consciousness and we follow the rules and the regulations, and we try to do everything that we're supposed to do so that we can make spiritual advancement. And sometimes difficulties come and challenges, and it's hard for us, it can be difficult to know what is the right thing to do. It's our duty as servants of the Srimad Bhagavatam that when we read, whatever we read, we have to try to apply in our lives so that we can make spiritual advancement that way. Of course, Prabhupada says that we can just hear. We can hear the Bhagavatam without even understanding, and still we can go back to Godhead just like that. Of course, if we hear and apply, then we can move even faster. But just the fact that we can hear without even understanding and still advance, that just kind of shows how kind Krishna is. And that could be motivation enough for us to really want to work hard, because Krishna is so kind that he's given us this process that is actually very simple. So, but we want to move things along faster. We want to reestablish our relationship with Krishna, and we want to reach a point that we actually can say that we love Krishna in the real sense of the word, and that's the whole purpose of everything that we do. So we make that effort. So getting back to how to know what is the right thing to do. So different people do. They go about making their choices in different ways, some favorable and some unfavorable. Sometimes people decide things according to the majority rules. And that can be problematic, because the majority might not be qualified. So then we don't necessarily want to use that. But that's what many people do. Whatever is popular, that's what they follow. So we can choose that to help us decide what to eat, how to dress, how to be in a relationship. But again, those things, to make those decisions that are so important in that way is not very helpful if the majority is not qualified. So this we don't want to do. Sometimes no choice is made. A person might abstain from making a choice, like in the case of Bhishma Dev, when during the gambling match, when Draupadi approached him and asked him, have I actually been lost? Has Yudhishthir, did he actually have the right to lose me in the gambling match? And Bhishma Dev, he chose to not respond. He told her he couldn't give her an answer. And so because of that, he had to suffer. So sometimes that's not making a choice. That actually is making a choice. So we don't want to do that. Some people don't care what anyone thinks, and they just make choices based on whatever they think, whatever their minds tell them, and they think that that's freedom. But actually, the influence of, you know, the karmic patterns of past lives and whatever is going on in society, that influence is there. So someone might think they're making their own choice, but actually they're not. Their freedom is actually very limited. In the Bhagavad Gita, in 10.10, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they come to me. So Krishna is very kind. If we serve him with love, then gradually, we're trying to do that. And then as we do that, he gives us the understanding. He helps us to know what is the right thing to do. How can we make, how do we make these difficult choices when they come? So the devotee makes choices based on what is pleasing to Guru and to Krishna. In order to do that properly, we simultaneously work towards the purification of our consciousness and the purification of our senses. In this way, we become closer to Krishna. We start to realize him, we start to understand him, and truly love him. And then we'll know what to do in all situations. But of course, this is a gradual process. And sometimes the difficulties arise as we progress along the path to bhakti. So the question is, how can I be motivated to keep going even though the difficulties arise? How can I be motivated to continue? Well, one thing is, my spiritual master actually used to say that when we become lazy in our sadhana, it's a form of selfishness, because my practice is not really just for me. Because the advancement that I make, that influences everyone that I come in contact with. And we're all leaders. We're all leaders, even if we might not have a position of leadership, you know, officially, but we're all leaders in our own way. If we have children, for example, then obviously whatever I do, that's going to affect my children. And so I need to be serious in my practice, because they are benefiting from what I do. I have a quote. Oh, sorry. I have a quote I wanted to share about that. It is the duty of the father and mother, this is from Srila Prabhupada, it is the duty of the father and the mother to see that the son, or obviously the son is the last attempt to see that my son, this is the last attempt of coming into the material world. Namochayedya samupeta mrityum. It is the duty of the father and the mother to stop the repetition of birth and death of his son. The mother should consider that my son came to my womb and he has suffered so much while he was remaining within the womb. Now I shall teach my son in such a way that he is no more going to be in the womb of a material mother. That is the duty of father, that is the duty of mother, that is the duty of friend, and that is the duty of guru. Guru na sasyat swajano na sasyat, pita na sya jnani na sasyat, Namochaya dhya samupeta mrityum. So save your children from the danger of repetition of birth and death. That is the real discharge of the father and the mother's duty. So that's a quote from a class by Srila Prabhupada. So that's one motivation, is that we want to continue and our progress in Krishna consciousness because we want to help our children. Now we might not have any children, then also whatever we do benefits our relatives in general. Now some people might have devotees in their family already, and that's very fortunate, like Madhumati here, and that's very fortunate. But not everyone has that. Most people don't. And so our families also make benefit, as we hear from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. But according to our level, we can help different certain generations of our family, a certain number of generations of our family also become liberated. So this is very important. For myself, in my case, this is a big motivator for me, because just to give a personal example, in my family, there aren't any devotees. I'm not talking about my children, my family. And they tend to have that mood of, you know, whatever I need to get, whatever I need, whatever, however I need to be happy in this world, I have to do that myself. I have to work on that. And that's what the ultimate goal of life is, to just to be happy here. I have one older brother who just the other day, and I don't preach to them anymore, because I've seen that they're not offensive, but not really favorable. So I just try to keep a good relationship with them. And so just to give an example, my brother sent me a message. He sent me an article not too long ago about, and the article was about racism. And it was about a woman who had, she was getting an appraisal for her home. And she was in a black body and her husband was in a white body. And when the appraiser came to the house, she could immediately understand that that was an issue for him. And he was, and he had an attitude, and he, found lots of faults. And then he ended up giving an appraisal for the house that was really very low. Like, she was very surprised at how low it was. And so then she decided that she knew what to do, and she looked around the house. She took down all the pictures, anything that showed that a black body person lived there. She took all that down, and she had another appraiser come, and she and the son, they left, so only the husband was home. And when the new appraiser came, the house appraised for like $160,000 whatever dollars more than the original appraiser. So my brother sent me this article, and I said, well, yes, of course there's obviously these things are unfair and they happen regularly, but at the same time, the only way to really get rid of that anartha, racism is an anartha, so the only way to really get rid of that is by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. That it's not really something that that there's a material solution for. And and he very much didn't really agree with that. And I was trying to make the point that to change a person's heart requires purification, and purification comes from putting God in the center of your life. But he didn't really take to it so much. But then at the same time, someone can say, they can come to the movement and say, well, you know, you say that about people on the outside, But there's also racism within your movement. And unfortunately, that is true. And that stems, of course, from the fact that, you know, we're all on, how can I say, we're all, as Prabhupada said, in the shower. And so unfortunately, you know, devotees come and have that way of thinking. And if we don't work on ourselves regularly, then it's very difficult to get rid of that. And it still plays itself out amongst the devotees. And this is very unfortunate. So this is another reason why it's very important that we continue to follow and to work on ourselves. Just recently, there's a young girl that I've been preaching to or trying to encourage, let's say. And she told me that she also is in a black body. And she had an experience where she went to a temple for Janmashtami, and she really felt that she got a very cold reception. And she felt that that was the reason behind that particular reception that she got. So it had a very negative effect on her. And I had to try to do some, as we say, damage control to try to keep her encouraged, because, you know, after having that experience. So it really is very important to, as I say, to keep going with our practice, to keep working to try to get completely purified, because this way, because whatever we do, as I said, is going to affect others. It affects not only our families, but it affects the people that we interact with. So just my own trying to purify myself, that is preaching right there, because people will look and see what kind of person I am, and if I say that I'm a devotee, you know, then they're looking to see, well, what does it mean to be a devotee? Can they see something, can they see that in me? Like, what does that really mean? I read an article, actually, that I thought was very nice. I was listening to a lecture. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. I was listening to a lecture where Prabhupada was explaining. He said that Christians and Muslims, that they were actually Vaishnavas. And I thought that was interesting. He said they were actually Vaishnavas because they, if you accept that God is a person, then you are a Vaishnava. Just maybe not necessarily, you know, obviously there's different levels, so not on the same level, but still they're on the path, and that's very positive. And there was one article that I read actually by a Christian preacher, and I thought it was very interesting because he speaks, well, you listen, he speaks very much like a devotee. You can hear the similarity. He wrote an article about this, What Would Jesus Do? And I just found it interesting because we're talking about, you know, trying to make decisions and trying to know what is the right thing to do. And he says, before we can ask the question, what would Jesus do, we must ask ourselves whether we know Jesus. Knowing Jesus begins with reading about his life, teachings, and claims in the Bible. However, reading the Bible as literature alone only helps us to learn about Jesus. To truly know him requires a personal, spiritual relationship with him. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." What would Jesus do is an irrelevant question for many people because they don't know who Jesus is. They wear the four letters, WWJD, on their t-shirts or wristbands without truly learning about the life and teachings. Oops. Without truly learning about the life. Anyway, sorry, I'm having a little technical issues here. Without truly learning about the life of Jesus. So the point is that a relationship needs to be there. And so I just thought that that was very interesting because in order to be able to know what to do, what would please Guru and what would please Krishna, the relationship has to be there. And getting back to the verse. So another thing, there are many times during this Mahabharata where the Pandavas had to make different choices or different decisions about things of what to do. And so another example was when the Pandavas brought Draupadi home. As we know, Arjuna, he won the contest, the Swayamvar, by shooting the eye of the fish, and he won basically the right to the hand of Draupadi. And when the Pandavas brought her to their, because they were in hiding at the time, so they were living in the forest. So when they brought her home to Mother Kunti, she didn't know at first who was with them. And so Arjuna said something along the lines of, "Oh, Mother, look at this. I don't remember the exact term, but we've won something, this beautiful prize that we have." And Kunti said, "Well, whatever it is, share it amongst yourselves." And then when she realized that it was, this beautiful princess, then it was a problem because she had said it and her words could never be proven false. But at the same time, how could they share this beautiful princess amongst themselves? And there were five brothers. And so interestingly, Yudhishthir, he thought about it, and then he said, "Yes, what we should do is we should all share her." And he almost immediately felt like that was the right thing to do. And so how could he know that? Because Yudhishthir he's a pure devotee. He is always thinking of Krishna. He was and what is pleasing to Krishna. He was not thinking, "Oh, my brothers and I are going to share this woman." He wasn't thinking on that level. He immediately knew what was the right thing that would be pleasing to Krishna. So he said, "Yes, we should all share her." But still, not everyone wasn't fully convinced, especially Draupadi's father, King Drupad. And when King Drupad found out, at first he was very happy because, of course, who wouldn't want their daughter to marry, to marry Arjuna or to marry into this wonderful family? And first he said, "Oh, yes, very good. I'm glad to know that you all are the Pandavas, and let me, and so Draupadi will marry Arjuna. This is wonderful." And, but Yudhishthir said, "No, she can't marry Arjuna because I'm the oldest and I should be married first." And so then Drupad thought, okay, well, yes. So she'll marry Yudhisthira. This is also wonderful. And then Yudhisthira said, no, actually, she's going to marry all of us. And he explained what happened. And Drupad was not very happy about that anymore, obviously, because he was thinking that this was something that, you know, that's not really done. So he was not happy about that. And so now he's in a difficult position because he didn't really want this to happen, but it's kind of already a done deal, but he didn't really want to give his blessings to it. So then along comes Srila Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva comes and he explains, and he says, yes, this is the right thing, and it is okay for her to have five husbands. But still Drupad was not feeling totally convinced. He wasn't feeling totally convinced. So Srila Vyasadeva kind of takes him in private, and he explains to him that what Draupadi's previous life and how she had this desire to be married to a wonderful husband, and she asked Lord Shiva five times. And so for this reason, she was going to have five husbands. And he also gave him a clear understanding of who the Pandavas were. And so when he could see that, and knowing that this was ordained, then he was convinced. So then he knew what to do, and he was happy to give his blessings. So sometimes, you know, we're not on the level of Yudhisthira, so we don't know right away. So we need guidance, we need help. And so in this case, he needed guidance from Srila Vyasadeva. So he needed the guru to come and to explain, okay, this is the right thing to do, this is what you should do. And then in the another point from the verse is that the ruling is that an aggressor, when he is without weapon or chariot, cannot be killed. So as we know later on, or previously in the Mahabharata, that there was an aggressor who was not on a chariot, and so technically should not have been killed, but he was killed, and that was Karna. So one might say, well, why was that okay? What's the purpose of, why should that rule have been broken? So Krishna, I just wanted to read a little part here. Krishna explains very clearly to Karna why it is that there's a one point in the battle where Karna and Arjuna are fighting, and Karna's wheel, his chariot wheel, gets stuck into the earth, and it sinks down, and he's not able to move forward any longer. So then he gets off his chariot, and he's trying to lift his chariot out of the earth, and he's unable to. And Krishna instructs Arjuna that this is the time you should kill him, and it's a little surprising because of, you know, everyone knows about that rule, that he shouldn't kill him at that time. But if Krishna tells you to do something, then that's what you have to do. But he gives an explanation to Karna, who's saying, you know, why are you going to do this? This should not be done. Karna wept in frustration. Seeing Arjuna near him, he called, "O Partha, wait for a moment while I extract my wheel. Do not cherish thoughts entertained only by cowards. Brave and pious persons never aim their arrows at those who are without weapons. You are the bravest and most pious of all warriors. Excuse me for a moment, standing helpless as I am. I will soon stand again for battle. Remembering virtue and the codes of warfare, hold off your attack until then." Hearing his agonized plea, Krishna smiled and replied, It is fortunate indeed that you remember virtue, O Karna. Men in distress almost always censure providence, forgetting their own evil deeds. Where, O Karna, was your virtue when Draupadi was brought weeping into the Kuru assembly? Where was it when Yudhishthira was robbed of his kingdom? When he asked for it to be returned after spending his promised 13 years in exile, did your virtue suggest that it be returned? Was it virtue that conspired to set fire to the wax house in Varnavat? Did virtue urge you to laughingly say to Draupadi, "Oh lady, choose another husband"? Was it that same virtue that ordered Dushasan to strip her naked? When you and six other brave heroes surrounded the boy Abhimanyu, did virtue then enter your mind? And then Krishna says, if virtue is acting on all these occasions, then do not waste your time summoning it now. You wish us to practice piety today, but you will not escape with your life. After vanquishing you and all the other enemies, the virtuous Pandavas will regain their kingdom. So anyway, so Krishna gives an explanation there of why the Karna was to be killed in that way. So I think that is all that I wanted to say. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Mother Sukhara Prabhu?
Wonderful class, Akanasi. Thank you. So thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And I really loved that last passage that you wrote and thought it kind of tied in with, you said that, you know, when you don't make a choice, that that's a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, that so many, so it was like that with all of them, you know, in the assembly where they did not, you know, Bhishma didn't speak up and Karna, so many of them didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. Of course, things like that happen all the time in our society and in the greater society, where you see something that's not right and you're hesitant to call it because you don't know what will happen if you do. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you'll be in trouble with the authorities or it's going to make certain people upset, but how it really is our duty if something's not right, you know, to speak up. Mm-hmm. I was also thinking about your brother, you know, and preaching to your brother. And you probably already said this to him, but I was just thinking that, because you said, you know, surrender to the Supreme Person of Godhead, but, which is true, mm-hmm. but also the idea that what makes everyone different is the body, but understanding the soul inside. Mm-hmm. You know, if everyone understands that, then it's totally equal, which is, we're so fortunate to be able to see that. And of course, as you mentioned, Prabhupada, he, you know, he saw everyone as devotees, Christians, Muslims. You know, he said, Krishna also says, to the extent that you surrender, you know, he's able to help you come closer. But that, anyway, that idea of, you know, spirit of the soul. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And one other thing I was thinking about is that, you know, just like that girl that you're mentoring, you know, different things have happened with my children over the years. Or they see something that's unfair, mm-hmm. you know, or they've been treated in an unfair way. I always say to them, well, you know, now you know how not to act. Mm-hmm. You know, now you know what not to do. Mm-hmm. Instead of just making it a completely negative experience. Mm-hmm. And also that Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, we're not perfect, but we're all in the shower. Mm-hmm. If someone's in the shower, then they're trying to get clean, but they're not totally clean. So, you know, just thinking of that in relation to the, mm-hmm. that kind of mentoring. And thanks for mentoring her. I'm sure that makes such a big difference. And just also that if we can remember that when new people come, you know, how we should always greet them, because mm-hmm. maybe nobody really meant to be cold, mm-hmm. but people just get busy with mm-hmm. whatever they're doing. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Their mm-hmm. own friends and all of that. But really the Sunday feast, the way Srila Prabhupada instituted it, was that we reached out to new people especially. Mm-hmm. So if we don't do that, then we're really missing a lot of the point of our Sunday gathering or any gathering where people are mm-hmm. coming from the outside. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Okay. Yes. On racism, you raise very important point, you know, racism within our ISKCON movement. So my question is, there are a lot of time there's a possibility, you know, people are really trying not to be, be racist or something. So what are the signs when somebody is not intentionally doing it, but it's coming out of, you know, subconscious or deep-rooted habits somewhere in the subconscious? What are those signs and how to solve those kind of problems?
What are the signs and how to solve those kinds of problems? Well,
maybe you can think about it and you can put it on the chat later.
Okay. Well, one thing that comes to mind as far as how to solve the problems, I think if I'm aware that I have an issue, I might not be aware, but if I'm aware, then I can, as I go through my, as I'm practicing, I can kind of focus on that, like, you know, by just, maybe before I chant my rounds, for example, I might say a prayer and ask Krishna to help me with, I have this particular issue that I've become aware of, so please, you know, let me chant sincerely so that I can, that particular thing can go away, something like that. The signs, that I have to think about some more. Anyone have some input for that, as far as like what would be the signs of some?
Yeah, you're getting my point.
Can you give an example? Can you give an example?
Yeah, no, I'm just asking, what are those signs if somebody's subconsciously doing some racism act, you know, without knowing it, and consciously he's making an effort not to be racist, if that is even possible, I'm just asking, if it's really a case.
Yeah, I guess to just think about kind of self-introspection. Just think, if a person comes from, you know, it could be just another, if a person is of another race, and let me just give some thought to that for a little bit, because I know that the issue's out there. I might not have that issue, but the issue's out there. So let me just think about it a little and see honestly in myself, would I, here's something. I could think, if I had a daughter, would I let that person marry my daughter? There's one way, just to kind of, you know, really think. And if not, what would be my reason why, or daughter or son, whatever, what would be my reason? So think about things like that, this that requires just some self-introspection, really thinking deeply. Yeah, why wouldn't I want that person to marry my daughter or my son?
Yeah, that's very good thing you mentioned. I have a daughter too, and I respect all the races and the religion. At the same time, you know, subconsciously, I always think that, you know, I don't want my kids to get married to a Muslim or, mm-hmm. you know, some other faith. Mm-hmm. I think it's partly, you know, that racism also plays that role, you know, mm-hmm. when Prabhupada says we are not American or Indian or black or white, you know, we are just, you know, bhaktas. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is, you know, a lot of us have this deep-rooted something which we follow, but I think that you gave a very good example when we think about our children perspective, mm-hmm. you know, what do we want them to do, mm-hmm. and that really tells us our real picture, you know, mm-hmm. what is the real scenario behind subconscious mind, mm-hmm. so thank you for that point, but I'm not sure how can we really clean that, I don't know.
I mean, everything, you know, everything. That's why we're here. That's the whole purpose, you know, hearing, we read. I mean, reading Srimad Bhagavatam is so, we're in our reading group, we're reading the 11th canto, and it's just so powerful because Krishna just lays everything out. And when we constantly hear over and over again about the fact that, you know, how this is illusory energy and just how everything works, then, you know, eventually it starts to sink in, you know. So the potency is there in the reading, you know, the hearing, the chanting, associating with devotees. So yeah, so the potency is there in the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. So we just have to do it and do it to the best of our ability. But when things come up that we because the purification is going to come anyway. It's going to happen anyway. But when we're aware that, okay, here's a specific thing I need to work on, then I can, you know, put some extra energy into that specific thing.
And on a similar note, if we take our kids to get married to a devotee versus non-devotee, does it fall in the same category as black and white thing, or?
I mean, obviously, we want our kids to marry devotees because we are feeling that that's the obviously the most easiest thing. You know, you want them to be able to connect on that level. So, in my personal opinion, I don't think that that's racism, but at the same time, you know, they might not marry a devotee, so we have to be willing and able to open our hearts to that person, whoever they are. So then that is where I think it would become a problem if I feel like, well, I can't love this person because they're not a Hare Krishna devotee, but they're in your family now, so, you know. Yeah. A comment from Chattamayi. An excellent class, Mother Ekadashi, appreciating the incident of Karna from Mahabharata. So easy to dismiss our own transgressions of virtue when we feel injustice happening. Oh yeah, very nice, thank you. Thank you, your servant Chattamayi Devadasi.
You have a comment from Shyamadarshini, Mother. Thank you, Mother Ekadashi, for such an enlivening class. I was inspired by your guidance on Srimad Bhagavatam's practical application in our lives and how to impact ourselves and others. And one more comment from Dwaraka Leela Devidasi. Thank you for your wonderful, encouraging class. You speak with the example of Gurudev and with the heart.
My God's sister. Vantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.